Chapter 29 Gulf of Mexico. Paul Trout stood at the wheel of the Raleigh's primary launch, which was basically a souped-up lifeboat without a top shell. Gamay was with him, heading north across the warm Gulf of Mexico waters. "Didn't get much of a send-off," Paul said, glancing back at the distant lights of the Raleigh, almost 10 miles behind them. "That's what happens when you slip away in the middle of the night without telling anyone," Gamay replied. That wasn't quite true. The captain and the executive officer knew, as did a few members of the Third Watch who saw them depart. But after Kurt and Joe had been ambushed in Florida, the Trouts had decided not to take any chances. They'd loaded 7 containers of the soil and bacteria onto the launch and pushed off, headed for New Orleans, where they would deliver the samples to a group of scientists handpicked by the president to study the bacteria and look for more efficient ways to kill, counteract, or contain it. "Do these scientists know we're coming?" Gamay asked. "I figured we'd call them when we get into port," Paul said. "I didn't want anyone to know we were moving the samples." Gamay nodded.
"Speaking of that, I'd better check the containers. The bacteria are putting off more gas than we thought, and I don't want any explosions, which we might have if the pressure in those containers rises too high."
She left Paul's side and made her way to the short stairway that led to the boat's forward cabin. Stepping down to the bottom of the boat, she flicked the light on, lifted a tarp, and then stepped back in shock.
"Derek," Gamay said, "what are you doing here?"
He stood rapidly.
"Quiet," he snapped, his voice a harsh whisper.
He had a pistol in one hand and a radio in the other. The gun was pointed her way. There was no mistaking the message. He put the radio to his mouth.
"Prowler, this is Reynolds," he said. "You might as well move in. They've found me."
The response came through the radio just loud enough for Gamay to hear.
"You're still too far out. Keep them on their current heading. We'll intercept you in 3 miles.
"Who are you working for?" Gamay said.
"I told you to be quiet," he snapped. "If Paul comes down here, I'll have to kill you both, and I don't want to do that."
She knew Paul couldn't hear them. The wind of the open deck and the rumble of the engine drowned out any voice that wasn't shouted.
"I don't know what you think you're doing, but you're making a big mistake."
"Thinking you could sneak away in the night was the mistake," Reynolds said.
"Bringing all this with you."
He pulled the rest of the tarp back and tossed it aside, exposing the other containers.
"Those are soil samples from below the oil platforms," she said.
"I know what they are," Reynolds replied, "and I know you've been in the medical bay, adding chemicals and other things to the sediment. I've seen you in there. I heard the explosion when one of the experiments literally blew up in your face."
"What are you talking about?" she said. "We're not adding anything. We're simply studying the samples."
"You're altering them, so you can blame someone other than the oil company."
She looked Reynolds directly in the eye. There was a wild look about him. His face was red. She could see he was unstable and enraged by what he believed. But the voice on the radio had sounded far calmer.
"Who were you speaking to?"
"Stop asking questions," he said.
"You're an environmentalist, right?"
"Of course I am," he said.
"I'm an environmentalist, too," she said. "I've testified before Congress for tougher laws on dumping waste in the seas and restricting drilling. I even chained myself to a few trees in my college days, in the vain hope that they wouldn't be chopped down for a parking lot."
"I know what you're feeling, but—"
He cut her off again. "I'm not letting you blame radical environmental factions, or whatever else you might call them, for the negligence of the people who were operating that oil rig. I heard you talking to the captain about explosives. I know what your game plan is. We all know it. Big oil and big government. Can't tell where one starts and the other ends."
"We? Who are you working with?"
"A group who wants to do something about it," he told her. At this moment, Paul shouted down the stairs. "Everything all right down there?"
The gun rose a fraction.
Gamay tilted her head toward the door and shouted back.
"Just fine, honey. Be up in a few minutes."
Gamay could not remember ever calling Paul honey. She hoped the word would sound as strange to his ears as it felt coming from her lips.
"Just checking," Paul said calmly.
Reynolds grew more tense, gripping the gun,
wiping some sweat from his face and splitting his attention between Gamay and the stairs, expecting Paul to come charging down to her rescue. It didn't happen.
So, what are you going to do here? Gamay asked after another minute.
Turn over the samples to friends of mine, Reynolds said.
And then what?
They'll publish the truth.
What are you going to do with us? Gamay said.
He paused, as if he hadn't thought it through. They don't want you. They want the proof. He was obviously being used by someone, but that didn't make him any less dangerous.
Paul shouted down to her again. There's something up here you should see. Some weird lights on the horizon.
Gamay looked at Reynolds. Sounds like your friends are here.
Last chance to change your mind and do the right thing.
I am doing the right thing, he said.
Let's go. Upstairs.
Gamay turned and pushed the door back.
Slowly, Reynolds whispered.
She did as ordered, opening the door that led from the cabin to the stairs and climbing the flight slowly. Reynolds followed, gun in hand, eyes darting about, looking for trouble. Paul wasn't waiting to ambush them. In fact, he was still at the helm. But the second Gamay reached the top step, he threw the wheel over and the boat swung wildly to port. Gamay was knocked off balance. She landed on the deck and slid. Reynolds, who was still halfway down the stairs, was thrown into the wall. He slammed against it, managed to hold on to the pistol and pushed off the wall, trying to stand up. Immediately, Paul reversed his turn and the boat swung hard to starboard. Reynolds fell the opposite way and slammed into the other wall. This second impact knocked the pistol from his grasp, causing it to discharge a single round into the wall. Getting up, Reynolds lunged for the weapon, but Gamay's shoe caught him in the face and sent him flying backward into the cabin. Before he could get to his feet, Gamay had the gun and was holding it on him.
Get on the floor, she shouted. Hands as far forward as you can stretch them.
She watched him comply and then shouted up to Paul.
Nice work, honey. For a second I thought you didn't hear me.
We're not in the clear yet, Paul shouted down to her. Those lights I told you about are for real. Two boats heading our way, one moving in behind us.